Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our special Erev Shabbos, Pirkei Avos Shir. This year is dedicated as a schus for Refuah Shleimah and Besoros Tovos, and only simchas for Miriam Basha Bas Malka Mindel. We should hear Besoros Tovos Bekarov, and simchas for her and for her family and for all. So I decided when Miriam reached out to me about putting this year together, I thought it would be very appropriate. Can you all hear me? Nod, the people I could see. Could you hear me? Yes? Okay. I thought it would be very appropriate to spend some time learning Pirkei Avos. First of all, I don't really have another series that teaches Pirkei Avos currently. And also, since this is the time period of year when we are learning Pirkei Avos from Pesach to Rosh Hashanah, I thought it would be very appropriate to spend some time learning Pirkei Avos. This coming Shabbos, we read Perek Aleph, and therefore I've chosen a Mishnah in Perek Aleph to focus on with very relevant lessons for all, I think. During this time that we are living in, besides for the personal lesionos that people face, when we look at the world, at this country, at the state of being that surrounds us, we realize that the only thing that matters in life is Torah and mitzvos, because everything else is hevel havalim, nothingness of nothingness. And there is nothing that brings us chosim, and nothing counts in life except that it is a life that is dedicated to Torah and mitzvah. So I'm going to be focusing on Perek Aleph, Mishnah Tes Vav. Okay? So Shammai Omer, Shammai says, Asei Sorascha Keva, make your Torah learning permanent, make yourself a set schedule, make your Torah learning permanent. And Mor Ma'at, Va'asei Harbei, it is better to speak a little bit, but to do a lot. Sometimes you have people who speak so much, but unfortunately they don't do as much as they speak about doing. Shammai says, Amor ma'av asei harbei, because Pirkei Avos elsewhere tells us that kol hamar bedvarim may be chet. Anyone who speaks a lot ends up bringing sin. So Shammai so far has given us two pieces of advice. We are actually going to be focusing on the third piece of advice in this Mishnah. The first piece of advice was asei sorascha keva, make your learning permanent. Amor ma'av asei harbei, it is better to speak a little bit, but to do a lot. And finally, the third piece of advice in this Mishnah, the Heve Mikabel as Kol HaAdam B'Sever Panim Yafos. You should greet every person, did I put this on an airplane mode? You should greet every person with a pleasant expression. You should greet every person with a Sever Panim Yafos, with a shining countenance, with a pleasant countenance. So first of all, Shammai's approach, Shammai and Hillel, of course, argued about many things, but their machlokas was l'shem shamayim. Shammai's approach to the Torah was one of uncompromising exactitude. So Shammai was not willing to compromise on his position, totally l'shem shamayim. Very interesting. I am quoting from Rav Yisrael Meir Lau to his Yachal Yisrael commentary to Pirkei Avos. One Yom Kippur, Shammai did not wish to feed a child because it would involve washing his hands, which would ordinarily be prohibited on Yom Kippur. Even though the sages made an exception in this case, ultimately Shammai did yield to his colleagues. This is quoted from Masechet Yoma, but Shammai was known for very exactness, what you would call today a machmir approach to halacha. Interestingly, I thought that this was very interesting as I was preparing specifically for this year. Our sages tell us that when Shammai's daughter-in-law gave birth to a baby boy on Sukkot, or the day before Sukkot, Shammai insisted the infant should sleep in the sukkah in order to fulfill the mitzvah of chinuch habanim, educating one's children. Even though chinuch habanim usually begins at the age of understanding, Shammai was so exacting in his keeping of halacha that he insisted that this new baby born to his son and daughter-in-law should be born on sukkah, should be in the sukkah, since the infant needed to be with his mother. So what did Shammai do? He broke a hole in the ceiling above the bed. He covered it with branches and made a makeshift sukkah, so it was as if, so to speak, the infant was laying in the sukkah. This is who teaches us this Mishnah. Now, of course, we could go through all three components. Asei soras chakeva, make your Torah learning permanent, that deserves its own shir. And mar ma'at vasei harbei, that deserves its own shir. But for tonight's purposes, I chosen to focus on the last piece of advice. The heve mikabel es kol ha'adam b'sever panim yafos, because we live in a world that is very, right now, dark. We live in a world, there's so much uncertainty that surrounds us. There's so much trepidation. Perhaps we feel fear. We certainly don't understand the plan of the Ribono Shel Olam, both personally and the nisyonos that people face, And nationally, galus is a very difficult condition. Galus is the path to geula, but it doesn't mean the path there is easy. But I chose to focus on this Mishnah because Hevi Makabos called on Besever Panam Yafos. With a little bit of effort, we could bring light to other people and we could bring light to the world. It doesn't cost so much to share a pleasant countenance, to share your face, to share your smile. It doesn't cost a lot to share a pleasant word with somebody else. And perhaps if this is something that we can all work on this week going ahead, first of all, it should be a schus for Besoros Tovos. And second of all, perhaps we could light up the world just a little bit more. Once a day, make an effort. Yeah, sometimes we don't feel like we're in a great mood. Sometimes we had a hard day. Sometimes we didn't get a good piece of news. If you could but just make the effort to be mekabel as kol ha'adam b'sever panim yafos, perhaps we could counteract and be misalking some of the darkness in the world that surrounds us. I'm quoting from Rav Yisrael Meir Lau in his commentary to Pirkei Avos. Rav Yisrael Meir Lau Shlita teaches, say little and do much. Amar ma'at va'aseh harbe. Some people, no, that's not what I want to quote from. That's not what I want to quote from. It's worth quoting from, but not for tonight's shiur. Greet every person with a pleasant expression. Says Rabbi Shlomo Meir Lau, greet people pleasantly. Show them that their presence is welcome to you. Extend kindness, even to a wicked person. Perhaps you will blow into him a flame, a spark of repentance into his heart. And interestingly, Rabbi Shlomo Meir Lau brings down, Hevi Mekabla es kol ha'adam b'sever panam yafos, greet the entire person, every man. Rabbi Shlomo Meir Lau says, make no distinction between Jew and non-Jew. The word ha'adam used in this Mishnah refers to greeting any human being. So when it comes to a Jew, we have an obligation of v'ahavta l'ra'acha kamocha, amar Rabbi Akiva zakal gavdol v'tar. When it comes to non-Jew, we have to recognize the tzelem Elokim, and furthermore, we don't appreciate necessarily the impact of the Kiddush Hashem we can create by greeting somebody with a pleasant countenance. The sage is saying, Avos de Rabbi Nasan, on this Mishnah, even if you give someone the finest gifts, if you do so while scowling, you may have done nothing. And it's true. If you give someone something begrudgingly, they sense it. They know your heart's not in it, and they almost don't want the gift. It could be the most beautiful gift, says Avos de Rabbi Nasan. But if you give it begrudgingly, it almost means nothing. But if you greet someone graciously, even if you've given him nothing, you are considered to have bestowed upon him the greatest gifts and the greatest treasure. And Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau quotes from a Gemara that I wanted to quote from as well. He brings down Meseches Ksubos. So Meseches Ksubos in Kuf Yud Aleph, Ksubos 111b, the Gemara says there, it is better to show the whites of your teeth to the pauper than to give him a drink of milk. The Gemara is comparing two things that are white. Your teeth, all right, and a glass of milk is white. Which is better to give the pauper? Your teeth, meaning your smile, or the glass of milk. And the Gemara says smiling at someone is even greater than feeding someone. And of course, we can't let people starve in the street, but the feeling of compassion that we exude with a genuine smile, with a sefer panim yafos, cannot be replaced with any material good in the world. So much depends on facial expression. And you would think, why does Shammai even need to tell me this? Isn't it common sense? And I still remember that someone at the Nautilus, they should live and be well, they should be zeichah to go back to lecture there. Someone at the retirement community, Atlantic Beach, and they are really much closer to Admeir Vesum Shana than the other way. Someone once said to me, common sense is not common. When we were learning, I think it was Precious Kedoshim, so why does Shammai need to tell me? Hevi Mekabos, call them a savor panim yafos. Because on the day that you didn't have a good day and you greet someone in the street, make sure it's with a pleasant countenance. Interestingly, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau points out something very interesting and important. It is Shammai who teaches us, Hevi Mekabla is called Adam Besever Panim Yafos. You might think it's Hillel. Hillel is the one who converted, who was attempted to convert the Gentile while he stood on one foot and he taught him Kodok Torah Kula, while Shammai pushed him away. Hillel was known for being much more relaxed, if you will, in his approach to halacha. And Shammai was known for being much more exacting. So who would you expect to teach you this halacha? Hillel or Shammai? Hillel is the one who went around smiling. Shammai went around and he was very strict with halacha. Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau says, it is Shammai, known for his legalistic approach, who teaches us the importance of greeting others pleasantly. And therefore we infer that this is not above and beyond the strict requirement of the law. This is not lifni mishuras hadin. This is not in the spirit of the law. It is the law itself. If Shammai, who is so exacting in matters of halacha, comes and he teaches you that you must greet everyone with a pleasant and a smiling countenance, it is a fundamental obligation to ensure we greet every person b'sever panim yafos. Rav Eliyahu Dessler, it is Michtam Me'Eliyahu, who notes, if you fail to return someone's greeting, you're comparable to a thief, which is very interesting. So let's say someone gets you first, and you fail to return that greeting, you are comparable, right, to Michtam Me'Eliyahu, to a thief. Rav Yisrael Meir Lau quotes something very interesting. Chazal teach how devastating it is to accept others kindly, how devastating it is to not accept others kindly. Chazal teach, quoted by Rav Lau, how devastating it is to not greet others kindly. Timna was a princess who lived in the time of the Avos. She wished to marry into the family of Avraham Avinu. She wanted to marry into the family of Avos. Timna recognized how special the Avos were. Apparently, doubting her sincerity, the patriarchs rejected her. She decided she would rather be a concubine among their family than a princess elsewhere, and therefore she became a concubine to Eliphaz. Who was Eliphaz? Eliphaz was the son of Esav. She figured, at least I'm still marrying into the family, because if I marry the son of Esav, if I marry Eliphaz, I will still have a connection to the family of Avraham Avinu. Who did she give birth to? Amalek. Esav, Eliphaz, Amalek. Our sages teach, this was ordained by heaven to teach us that the patriarch should not have rejected Timna. She truly and sincerely wanted to come close to God, and because she was not accepted with a sefer panim yafos, says Rav Yisrael Meir Lau, ultimately her generations come back, rachamad al etzlan, and haunt us for all time. Acting kindly towards others, says Rav Yisrael Meir Lau, is no less important than engaging in Torah and performing good deeds. And therefore, some Torah scholars engage effectively in communal affairs. And they understand that it is just as important, if not more important, than hours of Torah study. And it is a fundamental idea and a fundamental lesson that perhaps, I don't know, for the course of the next week, if we can all make an effort, the news is bad. There is no other word for it. We live in a time of great confusion. The galus is deep. V'hine ema chashecha gadol o nofeles alaf. Pasuk says in Bereishis Perek Tasval by the Brisbane of Sarim that a deep darkness fell upon Avraham Avinu. And he saw the arba golios, ema chashecha gadol o nofeles. Chazal say he saw the four golios that his children would go through, Bavel, Parzumadai, Yavan, and Galus Romi. And we're still in Galus Romi. And he saw all the malachim of the galus going up and coming back down. They ascended and they descended. And he saw Galus Romi going up and not coming back down. And that's the galus we're still in. It's the longest, harshest, most bitter of galus. How can we all make it a little bit better? How can we not despair? How can we not give in to Yeush? Says Shammai, I will tell you how. Hevei mekabel es kol ha'adam b'sever panim yafus. Make an effort. Be b'simcha. Even if you don't feel it. You see someone else, you greet them with a pleasant demeanor, says the Gemara in Ksuvos, it is better to show the whites of your teeth, that means to smile, than to give the pauper a drink of milk. I'm going to share with you an unbelievable story that is told over by Rabbi Riskin. This is a book, Rabbi Shlomo Riskin, it's called Listening to God. Very, very interesting, fascinating book if you haven't read it. Okay, I recommend. So Rabbi Riskin tells the following story. There was a Pirkei Avos Shir. During the long summer Shabbat afternoons, most of the congregants at this regular shir were Holocaust survivors. It was shortly after the war. They had only recently arrived in America. The spoken language, as well as the language in the class, was Yiddish. Towards the end of the very first chapter of Pirkei Avos, Shammai teaches, accept every human being with good fellowship. Hevi mekabel es kol ha'adam b'sever panim yafos. One of the participants, writes Rabbi Riskin, was a warm, smiley, good-natured father of twin girls. He calls him Mr. R. Mr. R quietly added to the interpretation of the rabbi's son-in-law, saying, after the rabbi's son-in-law expanded upon Hevi mekabel es kol ha'adam b'sever panim yafos, Mr. R said, this teaching saved my life. In measured and painful words, he told over the following story. I was born in Poland, right near the German border. Every morning, I would get up and I would go to shul. I would meet almost face to face a well-known and fairly well-to-do German citizen who would always begin his day with his walk. No matter what the weather, I always began my day with a walk. I was going to shul. He always began his day with a walk. I would quietly greet him every single morning. A good morning, Herr Gottmacher. Good morning, Mr. Gottmacher. He would give me a disgusted look, condescendingly muttering in semi-response, Jude, Jew. His chin would nod slightly. I was never quite sure if his one word, Jude, was meant as a return greeting or an anti-Semitic reproach, but nevertheless, the dialogue between us continued every morning for at least 2 years. After all, I wanted to be true to Shammai's teaching, Hevi Makabel as Kol Adam, if you recall, Rabbi Shammai Allah writes, this isn't only vis-a-vis Jews, it's also true versus anyone, vis-a-vis anyone you meet. Said Mr. R, I wanted to be true to Shammai's teachings. And then the Second World War broke out. Our lives, says Mr. R, were shattered. I was taken to Auschwitz. Life became almost unbearable, but nevertheless, I desperately wanted to live. There's something in the human condition that we want life so badly, as hard as it gets, as painful as it is, as confusing as this world is, we want life. Indeed, the only thing one lived for during that time was to live another day. I became dreadfully ill with typhus, to such an extent I could not even drag myself to roll call in the morning. And then there was an accursed selection, when each inmate would march in front of a Nazi messenger of death. He would look every person over for a few seconds, and he would bellow either rechts, which means right, or links, which means gas chamber and death. I somehow managed to crawl to the selection line. Unsteadily, I stood on my feet. I could feel the redness of my feverish face. My bloodshot eyes made it impossible for me to see in front of me. As I came closer to the moment of truth and the Nazi in front of me, I wordlessly, in my mind and heart, recited the Shema Yisrael. And then with my double or triple vision, I looked at my executioner, the Nazi face staring into mine. With my last ounce of strength, I looked him in the eye and I said, Guten Morgen, Herr Gottmacher. His impassive face twitched. He looked at me hard and replied as he always did, Jud, he muttered, and then rechts. He sent me to life. This is the story that Rabbi Riskin tells over in his illustration of Hevi Mekabel as Kol Adam B'Sefer Panim Yafos. We can never underestimate. I'm talking to Micha Horetz. You know who needs Musar? Micha Horetz needs Musar. You know who needs Chizuk? Micha Horetz needs Chizuk. The Golus is an Ema Chesheich Gedol and Ophelis Olaf. And you look at the evil in the world, and sometimes you might feel Yeush. Personal nisyonos are difficult. And national nisyonos are also difficult. And Shammai tells you, Asay Torascha keva, and mar ma'at v'asei harbe, v'heve v'kabel es kol ha'adam b'sever panim yafos. A person can never underestimate the power of a kind word and a pleasant face. It might even save a life, Rabbi Riskin teaches. It's very interesting. I'm going to quote from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik Kodesh Levracha, the God of Hadar. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in Parshas Vayetze brings a very interesting verb. In Parachov Tessa Bereshis, Yaakov Avinu has his dream. Okay, he has his dream as Parachov Ches, the ladder going up, down, Malachim. He's going into Galus. Esav wants to kill him. He already mentioned Esav, whose son was Eliphaz, who took Timnah, who had Amalek. So he has to run away. Esav wants to kill him. Esav sends Eliphaz. Eliphaz has Amalek, no family. It's come. He runs away. He's going to be Rachel and Leah. Everything's going to be very nice. He's going to establish the Shvatim. Vayisa Yaakov Ragla, Vayelech Artsa B'nei Kedem. Yaakov lifts his feet after this unbelievable dream and he goes to the east and he sees a Be'er Basada, a well in the field. And there are three flocks of sheep hanging out, lying beside the well. They would drink from the shepherds would give the flocks to drink from the well, but there was a big stone on the top of the well. V'ne'efsu shama kol ha'adarim. And once all the flocks gathered, v'galalu et ha'evan me'al pi ha'ber. They roll off, the rock is so big that you need all the shepherds to work together to roll off the rock. And then they give the flocks to drink, and then they put the stone back in its place. V'yomer lahem Yaakov. Yaakov's a stranger. Yaakov just appeared in town. Yaakov knows nothing about the ways of this place. Vayomer lahem Yaakov, and now he's going to ask them what they're doing. Achai, my brothers, me'ayin atem, from where are you? And they say, we're from Charan. And he says to them, do you know Lavan, the son of Nachar? Yes, we know him. Hashalom lo, how's he doing? And they say, shalom, and hine, Rachel, bito, by Matzon. You're not going to believe it, but here comes your cousin. They don't know. Rachel's coming with the flocks. And then before Rachel could reach the well, Yaakov Avinu says, you know, I don't understand what you're doing. Hein or hayam gadol, lo eis he asef hamikna. Listen, the day is still long. Why are you hanging out by the well? You're lazy. You're good for nothing. You want things for free. You believe in communism in this place? You're supposed to be working. You're shepherds. There's so many hours left to the day. So give your flocks to drink and go back to the fields. Go back to the pasture. Why are you all sitting around doing nothing? Hein or hayam gadol. Lo eis asef hamikna. There's a lot of hours left today. It's not time to gather in the flocks. Hashku atzon ulachuru. Give your flocks to drink and go shepherd. What do you think of this exchange? If you're going about your business, you lived in a town, your father lived in a town, your grandfather lived in a town, you know the minhag ha'makom, and some stranger comes up and tells you you're doing it wrong, what would you say to him? Think about what I'm saying. I'm serious. What would you say? Look at the godless of Torah. What would you say? Excuse me, tell me what to do? I've been living here my whole life. I'm a fourth generation Charanite. You just came to a place and you're telling me I'm not doing it right. You don't know anything about the weight of a stone. You don't know anything about the practice of the place. You don't know we work as a group. Who are you to give me advice? I should listen to you. They should kick him out. They should run him out. What do they say? They answer him. No, you know, lo nuchal ad asher ye'ais v'kol ha'adarim. We really can't. We have to wait till all the flocks gather. We all roll off the well together, the stone. Then we give them to drink. And then Rachel shows up. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zatzal, says, why did they answer him? They should have ran him out of town. They should have rioted and looted him out of town. Who are you to tell me what to do? You have no idea what I'm doing here. You just came here. You're a stranger. You literally were never in this place. You literally have no idea what we do in this place. They not only don't run him out of town, they answer him. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, because look at the first word. Yaakov Avinu says when he meets the shepherds by the well. And if anybody remembers, that I'm going to go back to it. Vayomer lahem Yaakov. Yaakov says to them, does anyone remember what it was? I know you can't talk on you because you're on mute. Achai, my brothers, from where are you? Do you know Lavan? Based on Achai, we can deduce the whole rest of the tone of Yaakov Avinu's conversation. He was genuinely interested in everyone's well-being. He wasn't trying to berate them. He's not trying to get them fired from their job. He's not mixing in. He has concern for the fox and the owners of the sheep and the shepherds, and he's trying to work with them. And how do they know that he means well? Heve mekabal es kol ha'adam b'sever panim yafus. Because when he sees them, what does he say to them? Achai, I care about you. I'm genuinely interested. Maybe we can fix things. Maybe I just want to understand how you do things here. Yaakov Kamenetsky says, look at the power of one word. Instead of starting with you lazy people, Nirpim atem, Nirpim says Paro to Moshe about the Jews. Yaakov says, my brothers. And because he says my brothers, they work with him. They answer him. One kind word can save a whole life, says Rabbi Riskin. One kind word can change your whole destiny. One kind word, they let him stay by the well. They didn't kick him out. So he was still there when Rachel showed up. And he went on to found the Shifteka. You don't know the power of being mekabel kol ha'adam b'sever panim yafos. I want to quote a beautiful insight that I read over Pesach from the Rabbi Pesach Kron Haggadah. I actually never quoted this in any venue yet until I was preparing the shir. I thought it would be perfect for the shir. So I'm quoting from Rabbi Pesach Kron New Haggadah. He quotes the Menoras Hama'ar. The Menoras Hama'ar has a wonderful parable about, if you have the Rabbi Pesach Kron Haggadah for your own reference, it's on page 225. It's called At the Magid Seder, if anyone wants to look it up and you have this Haggadah. The Menoras Hama'ar has a wonderful parable about a man who has three friends. He spent most of his time with the first friend. They shared good times together. He loved the second friend dearly, but he spent less time with him. But they had many common interests. They enjoyed each other's company. The third friend, though an important personality, he did not have much in common with. So the man spent the least amount of time with the third friend. One day, the man was arrested. He was called to the court to defend himself. He was afraid to go alone, so he called his friends to be there with him. The first friend, the one he spent all the time with, refused to accompany him to court. He was afraid he would be arrested for showing support to the man on trial. Sounds very politically correct. The second friend said, I will go with you to the courthouse, but I'm not going to go in with you. I'll walk you to the steps. You have to fend for yourself. He used to spend a decent amount of time with the second friend. Only the third friend, who he didn't even think would come, but he only called out of desperation because the first and the second said no, surprised him and said, I'll go with you to trial. I will stay with you in court. I will be there through the final judgment to defend you. What are these three friends? Says the Menorah Sama'ar. These three friends are one's money, one's family, and one's Torah and mitzvos. A man goes through life in this world, and when his time comes, all of us, Armeya Va'esrim Shana, after a life well lived, Be'ezrat Hashem, will be called to the world of truth before the Dayan HaEmes. And we will call our first friend, the money, the material pleasures we ran after. And we say, I spent my whole life courting you. And the first friend will say, I'm not coming with you, not to the grave, not to the funeral. I'm not coming up there. I'm staying home. Thank you very much. And you say, I spent so much time on you. That friend's not interested. The second friend, his family, can accompany him to the funeral and the grave, but no further. When it comes to the Olam HaEmes, he's on his own, even from his family. So who does he call? The third friend. What's the third friend? His Torah. I say, so rascha keva. His asiyas hamitzvos. And more ma'at, the asay harbe. His gemilas chasadim. Heve mekabel as kol ha'adam. Besever panim yafos. And it's that third friend who he sometimes didn't even focus so much on in life, who proudly comes along to the final judgment and says, I will be there at the funeral. I will be there at the grave. I will be there in court. I will stay with you to the end. They are there, writes Rabbi Pesach Kron, to support him and defend him. Hashem's gift of Torah, says Rabbi Kron, is our greatest asset. Too often in life, we spend time making money, spending money, investing money. We can't take it with us. Family is priceless, says Rabbi Kron. But often we do not spend enough time with them either. And even family can accompany us further than money, but they cannot appear for us before the heavenly court. But a person's Torah, asay so rascha keva, a person's mitzvos, and mar ma'at, don't worry about how much you talk, asay harbe, spend a life doing for God. Gemilus chasadim, a kind word, a good morgen, a smile, Achai, my brothers, I don't understand what you're doing with the flocks. Oh, we'll show you. We're not going to kick you out because you spoke so kindly. The Torah of a person, the mitzvahs of a person, and the gemilas chasadim of a person go with him all the way to the kisei hakavod, to Hashem's throne of glory. And that friend will defend us to the end. That friend will testify in our moment of truth. And everyone else has abandoned us. So perhaps Shammai is giving us the secret to longevity in this world. And Be'ezras Hashem, our eternal portion in the world of truth, Achmeya Ve'esrim Shana. And I was thinking, just to tie into this week's Parsha, this week's Parsha is Parsha's Naso. And in Parsha's Naso, at the end of Perek Vav, Psukim Chaf Beis through Chaf Zayin, we have the famous Birkas Kohanim. Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, they shall bless the B'nai Yisrael, Yivarechach Hashem V'yishmerecha. God should bless you and guard you. Ya'er Hashem panav elecha vichunaka. Hashem should shine from or the light of his face upon you and endow you with grace. Yisa Hashem panav elecha. Hashem should lift the face, his countenance toward you. V'yasim l'chashalem. And we have a principle. B'midah sh'adam modeid modedim lo. The way in which a person measures others, so he will be measured in turn. If we want Hashem's face to shine upon us, Yisa Hashem panav elacha. If we want the Ribbono Shel Olam to turn to us with grace, if we want him to lift his face to us, so to speak, with blessing, Ya'er Hashem panav elecha. If we want him to shine the light of his countenance upon us with yivarechecha, with v'yishmerecha, with vichunecha, with shalom. And Hashem says, how do you treat other people? Because I treat you the way you treat others. If you are mikabel eskol adam besever panim yafos, if you deal your face kindly with others, I will turn my face to you. The greatest reward is that the Ribbono Shel Olam should treat us the way we treat others. And if we treat others kindly, besever panim yafos, then Hashem will treat us with his, so to speak, sever panim yafos. Rashi says, he will show us a panim tzuhuvos, panim sachakos. He will show us a smiling countenance, a radiant countenance. If we want Hashem to treat us with that face of light and of chayim, first he looks to see how we treat others. The Baal Shem Tov, Rabbi Pesach Krohn brings this down. I have another book that brings it down. Rav Shai Shechter says this, many sources. We say, Hashem tzilcha al yad yaminecha, and with this thought I will end. Hashem tzilcha al yad yaminecha, shil amalos asanai al hari manyavo ezvez. Hine lo yinuvelation shomer, so Hashem shomercha, Hashem tzilcha al yad yaminecha. He's your shomer. He is your shade by your right hand. What do you mean Hashem is your shade? What does it mean Hashem is your shade? So the Baal Shem Tov explains. When you move, your shade moves. If you have a shadow and you're on the sidewalk, right? You lift your hand, so the shadow lifts its hand. And if you walk, the shadow walks. And if you crouch down, the shadow crouches down. Your shade or your shadow acts how you act. So what does Hashem tzilcha al yad yaminecha mean? Hashem deals with you. He's your shade. He mimics your behavior, so to speak. The way you deal with others, the way you act in this world, is how Hashem acts with us. It takes a lot of effort sometimes to have a sefer panim yafos for everybody we meet. But Shammai's not telling us what's lifnim mishuras hadin. He's telling us the din. Because at the end of the day, says Rabbi Pesach Krohn, the only thing that's going to accompany us and stay with us is the Torah, is the mitzvos, is the Gemilas Chasadim. And perhaps that smile, that achai, that good morgen, can bring a little bit of light to a world that is so very, very dark. So when we shine our face towards others with kindness, Hashem Tzilcha, the Ribbono Shel Olam will shine his face. Ya'er Hashem Panav Elecha V'chunecha, Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha V'yasim L'chasham. The Shir should be his chus. For Besoros Tovos, Refuas, for Mir and Basha, Bas Malka Minza, I thank you all very much for learning with me. We should have a good Shabbos and only Besoros Tovos. Thank you so much, ladies.